Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Mayor Molefi. How are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
Very well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time out to actually speak to us this afternoon. We do appreciate your time here at the Adventist World Radio. Truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we were going to be talking to you about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but DEI, as they shorten it. And so we're going to be learning quite a bit about this because it's a concept that we need to be familiar with, as well as the listeners. And of course, variety, as they say, is the spice of life. If diversity is another word for variety, how can it enhance our flavor or the flavor of the world? So you have the expertise around culture change, diversity, equity, inclusion, and transformation strategy, among other things. And so you're going to be sharing us the perspective and ideas on a DEI in leadership in particular. So what is the importance of DEI in any organization?
You know, especially it's a good way to understand DEI as something that's integral to any organization, because you have, for as long as you have people, for as long as you have more than two people in a given organization, in a room, you already have DEI. And why I'm saying that is that and often people think DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is just about race or only gender, but it's really diverse. It's also about diversity of thought, because when you have two people, there's different ways in which people approach problem solving, for example, to get to the same outcome. There's diversity of personalities, you've got introverts, extroverts, ambiverts along there. There's a new terminology now called neurodiversity. And neurodiversity refers to, you know, how a few years ago people would talk about, there's something wrong with his brain. There's something wrong with her brain. She doesn't have a normal brain. If you look at children on their autism spectrum disorder, for example, now the term that we need to use is that they are neurodiverse. Whether you have autism, dyslexia, dyscalculia, there's different ADHD, there's different conditions that were called problematic at that time. So we don't pathologize that. We say they are neurodiverse.
Okay.
And we don't call ourselves that you've got a normal brain. The terminology is that you've got, you are neurotypical and other people are neurodiverse, right? And then you just I haven't even touched on race or gender. Can you see how wide the aspect of diversity
is?
If you just look at cognitive diversity, perspectives, interpretations, heuristics, the steps you take towards problem solving, it is so broad. There's also acquired dimensions of diversity, like if somebody, your parental status, okay, it's a diversity issue, because somebody without a child in the workplace, if you put somebody with a child, their lived experience will be different. They need to be treated differently, or rather to be treated with understanding that their needs and experiences are different. So for as long as you have people, you cannot avoid the topic of diversity.
True.
If you want people to perform, we always say that people, they must have we must have a high performance culture, but a high performance culture has to enable people to feel that they belong in the workplace, that they can show up as themselves, that you don't have to hide who you are. You don't have to hide that you are an extrovert. You don't have to be ashamed that you are an introvert, you know? So that's what we are trying to teach and educate people. And because diversity comes with a lot of unconscious bias, right? We tend to, human nature, we tend to be pulled to people who look like us, come from where we come from, because I was born in Soweto. If I hear, let's say I'm somewhere in Canada, and I hear somebody says I'm from Soweto, there's something that just makes you closer to that person, right? There's something about us. That we need to look at, that we mustn't be biased against people who are different from us, especially especially if you are in a leadership position. For example, I sit on a panel, interview panel, right? And let's say there's a candidate who comes, I don't know her from a barrel soap. There's a candidate who comes in, and then she's a young black woman. And in the middle of the interview, I can sense that she's tense, she's perspiring, she's like all of us have been, you know, when you're looking for that job. And then somewhere in the middle of the interview, she mentioned that she was born in Soweto, she went through difficulties. And then I look, and then she's black, she's a woman, eh? And I'm black, and I'm a woman, fine, I'm much older. But I look at her, and then she reminds me of me when I was young. And then I sort of, just picture this, you soften your face, you become much nicer, you lean forward, you make her feel, and you don't see it. Because affinity bias happens in nanoseconds. Even your fellow panelists might not pick up that you are being overly accommodating to this candidate compared to, let's say after her, 20 minutes later, there's another candidate who comes. He happens to be young white male, right? And also his tense in the middle of the interview. He doesn't remind me of me when I was young. And I don't hate both of them. I don't necessarily favor both of them. But because affinity bias happens like that, then we need to educate ourselves as leaders that how do I work through my biases so that I am even-handed, I am balanced in my decisions.
Wow. Well, beautiful, man. I didn't realize this. Thank you for that. Now, what is the biggest challenge of DEI?
The biggest challenge is that people deny that they're biased. Everybody wants to think that, no, now I make decisions based on merit. That's the point of argument all the time. People who say, no. When we make decisions, it's purely on merit. Well, if you unpack the term merit, what does it mean? You'll find that people don't actually know. You know, at face value, when you write it down, you say merit means somebody has the qualifications, they can perform, they can whatever. But when you unpack that, you see that there is a lot of subjectivity, a lot of bias in what we call merit. So I find the biggest point of argument is that people want to deny the fact that they make their decisions based on bias. And it's a waste of time to argue that we don't have bias, in fact. What's helpful is to admit that I do have a bias. Now, what can we do to work through it?
Yeah, that's actually true, because I think as humanity, we want to, you know, portray ourselves as perfect and above reproach. And when some of these, you know, elements, weakness elements that are pointed out, we're very quick to shield and to want to defend as a particular position. And I think it's basically a blind spot that many of us fall into. Now, Nene, some argue that DEI is reverse discrimination. Is there any validity to this perspective?
No, I hear that all the time. DEI is implemented correctly. It is not reverse discrimination. For example, if you work in organization, company X or Y, right? The top leadership, let's say the top leadership are all white males. Or they are all males. They could be all black males, whatever. But they are one race group or gender group or whatever. And then you are saying that for the next appointment, when we have a vacancy, you need to be deliberate and look for a woman, right? You can't call that reverse discrimination, because we are saying that the decision making and the leadership needs to reflect the community in which we conduct business. Just imagine if a top exco is only males. Right? What makes you think that that's accommodating of everyone? And we are not saying then fire all the males and bring all the women. That is why we are talking about, you know, when we were developing the Employment Equity Act, I was seconded to the Department of Labor years ago. Because I was working from then. Seconded to Department of Labor, and I was heading HR at that time when the process of developing the Employment Equity Act, there was clear processes of thinking carefully through that act. Nowhere in that act do we say, go fetch, if let's say you're looking for a finance director, nowhere does it say, go fetch any woman or any black person and put them in the position if they are not qualified. Nowhere does it say that. So that legislation is very carefully thought through. It says, put together your own targets. You know what the profile is. If you're going to sit as a panel of interviewers. We are interviewing for marketing department or finance or operations department, whatever department.
Mm.
You need to look at what is the current profile
right.
of that department, so that when you are having your candidates there, you need to know that our role is to ensure that over and above looking for people who can do the job and people who are qualified, because that's where we must begin, people who are qualified, I also need to ensure that I'm looking for people who will be representative. So people will always say it is reverse discrimination. It's not. It's implemented correctly. And if the targets are communicated openly and transparently, cannot be reverse discrimination.
I hear a lot about reverse discrimination. And I'm wondering, what could be the cause? Could it be that those who have been having an advantage in these areas over a long time feel stripped, or that, DI should just not happen? I'm not sure exactly what.
Well, I think it's a combination of many things. There are people who really do not implement DI properly, right?
Right.
As much as I'm saying, you can find an organization where, let's say, the top leadership is white male only. It's also not okay to find a government department where the top leadership is only black male.
Right, right.
It's still not okay. Because you have white people, you have black people, you have colored and Indian people.
Mm-hmm.
So our role is to say people want to see themselves. They want to see role models. They want to see people who look like them. Whether we argue day and night, that's what people would like to see. So we're not saying move from one end of the pendulum to the other. So sometimes I have seen people moving to the other extreme. That is why then there will be some sentiment of reverse discrimination. But there are also people who are resisting the change. And just by hearing the word equity, they are saying, yes, it means we are being discriminated. Just to give you an example, I was talking to my son not so long ago, he's at university, and he was saying, wow, there are such good programs that they were introducing. And then he was saying, but they're saying it's only for women, right? So I could see the disappointment. So, but then your role there as a parent is to explain that the reason why they're prioritizing women in that particular instance is that women have been left out, whether they're prioritizing black people or colored or Indian or whatever. It's because a lot of people have been left behind. So there's a reason for that, as opposed to agreeing with him to say, everything is for women. It's to actually explain, if you are responsible enough to explain why, what is the rationale behind something like that.
Beautiful. In your view, as we close off, Nene, do you think that there is some kind of a sunset clause in this area, or it's an area that's going to be evergreen for a while?
Well, for as long as people are slow to implement what they need to be implementing, I can tell you now, it's going to take longer and longer for us to achieve the objectives that we want to set for ourselves. If people were to fold their sleeves and say, let us work towards ensuring that there is fairness. And remember, it's not just about numbers, actually. It's also about creating an environment where people would feel that it's conducive for them to excel. So, and the more people resist, the more people who don't want to do anything, then we won't actually get to the point where we say, it's enough. So I just think that people need to be comfortable with the fact that this is an ongoing work. I work globally, right? Not only in South Africa, I work Asia, Europe and America and all that. I can tell you now, every country has its pain points. Every country has an area of DEI that they know they need to focus on. So it's not only an issue as if South Africa is obsessed by this. The whole world is. That is why there's something called global diversity, and where I sit on a board like that, because the whole world is grappling with the same issue.
Beautiful. Well, Nene Molefe, I do want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Fantastic insights that you've given us. Blessings to you. We hope that we can have more of these conversations in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye.
Blessings. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.